At Mass last Sunday, we looked at how the personal encounter between Zacchaeus and the Lord Jesus left Zacchaeus, the tax collector, a completely changed man. We saw how Zacchaeus responded to this encounter with the Lord. Not only did he decide that he had to make good on the wrong that he had done, cheating people out of their money, but he also chose freely to give half of his possessions to the poor. And St. Luke told us that he was a wealthy man. So this was quite a serious decision. We began looking at the idea of stewardship, and we said that it's not just about money. It's not just about dropping an envelope in the collection basket on Sunday morning, although that is an important expression of stewardship. Rather, stewardship really is a way of life. It's a way of looking at the world in which we acknowledge, first of all, that everything belongs to God, and that all that we have, our time, our talent, and treasure, is on loan to us from God. It's entrusted to us by God that we might use it for God's glory. So the take-home point last week was that our basic question is not, what am I going to do with all my stuff? But rather, what do you want me to do, Lord, with the gifts that you have entrusted to me? Today I want to make just a simple point about the motivation for our stewardship. I think a lot of times we think of stewardship as having to do with meeting needs. So a typhoon gets stirred up, a wildfire gets started, a roof caves in or leaks, a sidewalk needs repair, furnace goes out, all these kinds of different things. You get the point. These needs arise and we say, okay, what can I do to help contribute to this need so that we can get this taken care of? We can also look at the stewardship of time. Aside from Sunday Mass, it seems like most people's involvement in church has to do with, you know, there's this activity that needs to be done. We need volunteers. And then people step forward to meet that need. So we sometimes think of stewardship in terms of meeting needs. And don't get me wrong, I'm not criticizing that. That is actually an important dimension of stewardship, that we see needs and then we step forward to help. But I wonder if the Lord might be calling us to deepen our stewardship beyond just the meeting of needs. I mean, we can look at our financial reports and we see that most of our money goes toward just meeting needs, paying bills, keeping things going. And I'm very thankful that we are paying our bills and that we even have a little bit to do some improvements. But looking again at the example of Zacchaeus, we see that his response to the Lord is not calculated. In this encounter with the Lord Jesus, it's not like he's just suddenly thinking, I guess maybe I should probably give some money to the poor. Or I guess now that I have this relationship with the Lord, I have an obligation to be generous. No, Zacchaeus' giving just springs forth from him. It's this desire to give that is discovered as he recognizes how much he is given by the Lord. We don't know exactly what happened in that encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus, but we do know, I mean, we can infer that the Lord loved him, that Zacchaeus had this profound experience of Jesus' love for him and his mercy, his care. And so Zacchaeus gave not out of the need to meet someone's needs, but Zacchaeus gave because he had the need to give. And that's where authentic stewardship takes us. Beyond just meeting the needs of those who receive from us, and to a place where we give because we need to give. And we become good stewards because we recognize how much we've been given. Again, not just materially, but also in terms of our time and our talent, our abilities. And this desire is awakened within us, is stirred up, that we want to give, not only to God, but also for the benefit of our neighbors. I don't know about you, but to me that seems a little bit foreign. When I think about spending time or volunteering for something or spending money, I think, well, where's the greatest need? I look for the needs and where I can help meet the needs. But where the Lord is inviting us to go is not just to look at the needs, but to say, I want to give because I have a need to give. Many of you are probably familiar with this story, The Giving Tree. Have you read The Giving Tree? It's a children's book about, I guess you could call it a relationship between a tree and a little boy, this boy who grows up, and as he's a child, he spends time swinging from the branches of the tree and playing in the shade of the tree, and then as he grows, he needs other things. So, you know, the tree gives branches so that the young man, the man now, can build a home or build a boat or all these different things. And in the end, spoiler alert, all that's left of the tree is a stump. And the boy comes back, he's an old man by this point, and the tree still gives the old man a place to sit down and rest. So he's thinking about that story, just kind of trying to apply it to my own stewardship of time, talent, and treasure. And I thought, you know, if I were that tree, I'd be more than happy to allow the boy to swing from my branches. I'd be, you know, just fine if he wanted to sit in the shade that I created. But when that boy came along with a saw, I would start to think a little bit differently. And maybe that's how sometimes our giving is characterized. So one of the dangers that we encounter, one of the obstacles that we encounter when it comes to this attitude of desiring to give, needing to give, is that we start to count the cost. And we start figuring, well, do I really have enough to give here? I'm already pretty stretched with my time. Can I really spend more time with this person? I feel like there are so many demands on me, you might feel. How can I give more in this situation? I need to keep enough for myself. Now, I'm not speaking against budgeting. Budgeting is reasonable. But I do think that we have to budget with faith. We have to budget with great trust and confidence in the Lord, whether it's our material resources or our time and our talents. The reality is that, as I said before, all is from God. And if God gives so generously, God is going to make sure that we are not left without. I wanted to just share this little paragraph that was part of some materials that were sent around to all the priests. It says, Catholics who have embraced stewardship report the ability to make a clear distinction in their lives between what they actually need and what they just want. Discerning between needs and wants leads to a life that is simpler, less cluttered, and more focused on what really matters. Ultimately, those who strive to be good stewards often feel that the practice brings more joy, more peace, and more contentment to their lives. We might just ask ourselves, how much do we count the cost? And how much are we willing to give, whatever the cost? We look at these seven brothers in the first reading. You might think it's sort of a silly thing, you know. All they're being asked to do is eat pork. Couldn't they just put a bite of bacon in their mouth and chew it up and spit it out later? They'd save their lives, right? But no, that doesn't even come into the equation for them. There's no consideration of betraying the law of God. So they're willing to be faithful, whatever the cost. And they seem to trust that God will provide for them, even if they have to die in order to be true. Let's ask for the grace this day to be true, to have hearts that acknowledge how gifted we are by God and that experience this springing forth of desire to give of ourselves in return to God and to our neighbor for all that we have received.